아래랑 오늘 가상 알실바리했습니다. 지름 지게 되는 마 아주에 아니 대화 가르했으나 아주기 아니 지게 띵지 대화 동함이 대화 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 그랬으니 대화 대화 대야 아니 지게 세티기 안티기 대화다 안 동화 세야 아니 개와 치마이네야 아니 지게 띵 원주 고번 톱디 띵들 띵기 주비야 아니 인제레 타바네 도시네 안 가르스 두고르스네 니야 안 산지기 아주게 라미 아주라 산유 준비되는 마 손주 코로나서 냠는 제제 냠는 준바 심 심규 뒤에 탑람 안 심규직 안 디스 뉴모버티스 뉴모버티 메바서 고레 다 심상보의 지시도 검고레스 탑라 뎀바들바 아주게 야보지 냠는 제바 있나 안 되나 아주 미유던데 되게서나 죽투그레스 아직 가산 도스지로
Good morning. So yesterday we started to look at the first brief text by Lama Tsongkhapa, who at the outset states that all of us have as an underlying motivation behind everything we say, do or think, the wish to attain happiness and to be freed from suffering and problems. And whilst it tends to be the happiness and the problems of this life that dominate our minds so, what we are already looking for is actually a happiness that is lasting and stable, that is never punctuated by even a moment of suffering. Reflecting this way then, one gives rise to a wish to attain good rebirths in lives beyond this, so as not to fall into the suffering lower realms. Moreover, when one reflects more deeply, recognizing that samsara in its entirety is pervaded by suffering, one gives rise to a wish to gain freedom from the suffering realms of samsara, and thereby gives rise to the determination to gain liberation from samsara. Reflecting further still, one can give rise to the deepest, the most profound motivation, which comes about independence on one's prior cultivation of the determination to emerge from these suffering realms of samsara, and one recognizes that others too yearn for lasting happiness, that at this fundamental level we are no different. Here one cultivates this determination where one takes responsibility to guide others to attain a state of liberation. And to do so, to fulfill this aspiration, one commits to becoming a Buddha for the sake of others. So this then is the most profound of goals, the goal of becoming a Buddha for the sake of others. And to achieve all of these various goals, the Buddha taught the method of transforming your mind, the various steps of training that will lead to a radical transformation of who we are, our very way of being, our very way of thinking. So this comes about in brief, as we looked at yesterday, through developing wholesome karma, strengthening our familiarization with wholesome ways of thinking, and eradicating the afflictions, first reducing and eventually eradicating the afflictions. This was the method taught by the
Buddha. Lutin
Further yesterday, we looked at that in order to attain freedom from suffering, this is a process that will require ongoing spiritual training for lives to come. So we need to ensure that we attain excellent rebirths again, like we have in this life. And to bring about a further precious human rebirth, we have to accumulate those required causes, because a rebirth such as ours didn't just befall us, it didn't come about causelessly, but came about in independence on numerous causes, on specific causes. So those causes were fivefold. The ethical restraint, where at the very least we restrain our physical behavior and our speech, but ideally also our mind. Restrain our behavior, that threefold behavior, within the confines of what is ethical. Moreover, cultivate a generous heart, a patient attitude, and enthusiastic perseverance. And these four then are rounded off with prayer. So these are the causes that we each accumulated in lives previous to this, and now we are experiencing the results of that. Recognizing that this rebirth has come about independence on those causes, we commit to utilizing what remains of this life to cultivate, at the very least, to cultivate similar causes again, and ensure we do not waste what remains of this opportunity, but utilize this life well.
Dengja sangji le lo yin yur na, dema drupar topchin chidagi, jitin paro nesu chi yur na, dese nyangan yur yan chijar yus.
Continuing with the third verse, if you are lazy due to being distracted by today's chores and tomorrow's tasks, you will not achieve what you could have. And if it is powerful yama that leads you to your next worldly abode, how great will your distress and despair be then? Yesterday, we came to recognize this precious human rebirth that we've achieved and its great potential. Therefore, what the wish arises to practice well. But this is easy to say, not so easy to do, because we have obstacles to committing our life to spiritual endeavors. And a primary obstacle is mentioned in the first line, and that is laziness.
Malevra,
Looking at the first line, if you're lazy due to being distracted by today's chores and tomorrow's tasks, so laziness arises within us in various expressions, various guises. Laziness refers to engaging in, for a particular reason, not engaging in what has meaning. In other words, cultivating the wholesome causes that will lead to excellent rebirths, liberation, and enlightenment. So this is the meaning of laziness in the context of Dharma. And it arises in different expressions. Primarily, are the two where one places an exaggerated value on today's chores and tomorrow's tasks, seeing these various activities that consume so much of our time and our physical and mental energy as having a value that surpasses what they actually do. This leads to our life being consumed by these activities. And a second but related expression of laziness is that of, well, I have all these other things to do and they are quite important. So whilst I know I need to cultivate the Dharma within, not today. Not until this project is finished, not until this stage of my life has passed, later. And in this way, we procrastinate and delay. So this is how our life tends to be consumed, filled and busy with a variety of tasks that have no real meaning, and delaying accomplishing what does. And this is how our time and our energy gets consumed. In addition to these two expressions of laziness, the one being the distraction to activities of no real value, and secondly that of procrastination, there is a third expression of laziness, and that is a lack of self-belief or a lack of self-confidence, which takes the guise of, I cannot do this. This is beyond me. Cultivating habituation to a particular way of thinking, breaking habituation to other ways of thinking. This is too difficult. This is beyond me. This is a third form of laziness. And it's an expression of a lack of self-belief, where thinking that this is for others to do, the great and the good, it's beyond someone like me. So this too is a laziness to be on guard for.
Lelo
Laziness is the major obstacle for engaging in the Dharma for those who have encountered it. And through laziness, now we come to the second line, you will not achieve what you could have. One will, through laziness, one spends one's life largely in distraction. In distraction, striving to achieve pleasures which are brief and then they pass, or overcoming problems which in reality are insignificant and minor, as well as procrastinating, delaying what one at least intellectually recognizes is important, or believing that it's too difficult for one to change one's own mind. So these expressions of laziness, when they dominate, as they so easily do, it leads to one not achieving what one otherwise could have, the accumulation of causes for further acts and rebirths, the causes that will lead to liberation and even enlightenment. With one's life then being consumed by striving to enjoy pleasures which are brief and transitory and overcoming problems which in reality are insignificant, quickly one's life is consumed in this way and the end of this life comes. And when the end of this life comes, there's nothing that can then be done. One cannot then delay our death. One cannot even use all our material resources to get the most expensive and the latest medical treatments. When it's time to leave this body, it's time to leave this body. Even if one has a burning desire not to die yet, one's willpower cannot delay one's inevitable death. So first in the third line, we have this word powerful. So this word powerful here refers to when the time of one's death comes. Those causes that are now leading to the ending of this life are too powerful to overcome. One has to leave this life, this opportunity to cultivate the Dharma, whether one has or has not, is now over.
Then That maka gewa chima kiru gure, chitin paru niso chigyo na paru be netere ki chiru gure. Ye ngansu me ne la gewa lemba ina so da chitin paru je cheti ne chi gewa paru ba, paru gewa chima ngansu ne la chi gewa kiru gure. Tisa dine za, karasa ne dindu ke la gewa ki yu saayo ma re, lele unga chine gewa, gewa madru ba re. Tisa da shi to di enda gawa kiru gure sen gewa chima ngansu ngandol ma kiru gure, je chitin paru niso chi gyo na sa.
So the translation will need to have to be changed a bit, so that what's translated for us in English in the third line, powerful yama, should be, is part of the second line, but instead of this word yama, which maybe Tsepel can explain later, which here Geshe wants to translate it as death. So it will go with the second line, something along the lines of, you will not achieve what you could have when powerful death comes, so something like that. So that has been commented on already. Now the third line, when death comes, then you're led to your next worldly abode. So when death comes, we are quite helpless in terms of what follows our next rebirth. Because at the point of death, our opportunity to influence our next rebirth is now over. Now we are under the control of our previously accumulated karma, because it is that and that alone that determines our next death, not a mere aspiration, not willpower, but the karma that we have accumulated. If laziness has dominated us, if we've spent our life following our desires for pleasures and overcoming problems, procrastinating, engaging in Dharma, or believing that the Dharma is too difficult for someone like me, if that's how we spent this life, the virtue we will have accumulated is likely to be somewhat limited and weak. Non-virtue accumulated in this or previous lives may well predominate, may well be the most powerful on our continuum. And it's whichever imprint is most powerful on our continuum that at the time of our death determines our next rebirth. Which means if the most powerful imprint on our continuum, whether accumulated in this or lives previous, is non-virtue, we are powerless to prevent ourselves falling into the lower realms, with our very next body being that of a being in the lower realms. So this is what awaits all of us when our death comes. At that point, we are powerless to influence our next rebirth. That then is up to the karma we have accumulated. The final line, how great will your distress and despair be then? So this particularly draws up the image of someone who is lying on their deathbed. They are very aware that this life is ending and that there is nothing that can be done. They most probably don't even have the willpower to demand of themselves that they remain. But even if they did, they are helpless. The end of their life has now come, and they recognize that this opportunity to transform the trajectory of their future lives is now over. And lying here with these last few days or hours or minutes remaining in this body, one is helpless. One is under the control of one's karma. It and it alone determines where one's next rebirth will be. And at that point, if one looks back on one's life and sees that laziness did dominate, that following the desires of this life, striving to be a mind overwhelmed by this life's problems, then one knows one lost that opportunity. One wasted that opportunity. And if now the lower realms befall one, if one's next body is that of a being in the lower realms, not only will the suffering be intense, but this position of helplessness that one finds oneself in now will continue. Because the lower realms are marked by two general characteristics, that of the intensity of the suffering, and secondly, that one is unable to engage in the Dharma. Even if one were to be around where the Dharma physically is, one lacks the capacity to recognize the Dharma, to understand the Dharma. Therefore, in the lower realms, not only is one suffering intensely, but there's nothing much one can do. One cannot accumulate the causes then to change the trajectory of one's lifetimes. Then one is completely helpless. So this is the position that we may well find ourselves in. When the end of our life comes and we look back with regret, then at that point, our distress and despair will be great. The purpose of this verse then is for us now having come to recognize that we have this precious human rebirth, and thereby we have the opportunity to radically transform this stream of rebirths that lie before us. This verse then serves to give us the opportunity to inspire us to shake ourselves free from the stupor of being distracted by today's chores and tomorrow's tasks. All these various activities that consume our energy and consume our time, leaving us without the capacity to engage in the Dharma. This now we take as inspiration to change this habituation and to strive to accumulate the causes. Because this opportunity, as long as we have life and energy within us, we have the opportunity to accumulate causes for further excellent rebirths, to develop the wholesome minds of the Dharma within.
And then in the Dharma, Lelo said, Give it Java, Jinim Matuva, Samla Tele, Jinim Maduva, Samla Shurova, Gava Tuyagila, Domitia, Sam Joro, Adi, Lelo said this water. Chesan Dinigi Dome, Leadilla, Jesu, or that Ladin Yel Shavo, some Taja, Dichai, Domeva. Or the new Jonsa Maris and the Delegate gave us here to the Tuem. Chesan Lelo said, Give it Java. 제기 내가서 진이 마디비기 샘중 지라네 예로시 거다 샘중
Hopefully it's clear what the meaning of laziness is, because it doesn't mean what it generally does in society where it's sitting around doing nothing. What laziness really means is one's wish to engage in the cultivation of the virtuous minds of the Dharma, that wish is quite weak. And it is rather dominated by the desire to engage in this life's various activities. Following various pursuits of transient pleasure, a mind dominated by this life's minor problems, as thereby and therefore procrastinating, delaying, engaging in the Dharma. So that's what laziness means. It comes down to the wish to engage in the cultivation of the virtuous mind of the Dharma. That wish is very weak.
Dinigida Kiwi Jawan Jinye Madhubi Samloti Tam Di Meva Suya Mayonalaya Tilya Samlo Kartan Gorda Di Samlo Tanjin Samli Tony Meva Su Madhishin Zi Shendagi Tiwan Sewa Tawan Tanyada Tu Chi Dinichin Wanchi Bijitan Meva Sudu Mede. She said that Samlo Tan Susu Susu Samlo Tan Meva Sugar. Tak Samlo Kartan Gorasene Penangi Ji Surim Dekin Gawasa Kiwachim Wundio Kofan Duvia in Ju Surim Sunya Digele. The Surim Digele, some that Surim Pay, or Edo, that Surim Di Pay, or Surim Sova, and then Digi Devo, Gewajan, want to go on to two, then Dele Digi to two, she said Ganga Mangosia, that Digi, I want to two, she Surim said, Pay, so yet Pay, I want to ask him big, Surim Zig, Yendin Tong, Yendin Tong, and Delia, and she Jagged, Donyagi Dumaki, Donyagi, Yendin Tong, Yendin Tong, Adia, Jago, who sent big, Donyagi Dumaki. Then Delia, Dinamne Jelia, Karana Jedi, Gawa, Dunya Dumba Delia, Gawish Samtide, Bayawa, this holds and be Dunya Dumba Delia, and the Gavia Samtide. Daddy, Zunduita, Bene Sudum Suit, Sudum Tawashavana, Sudum Suviki, Sudum Sumati, Yendea, Delia, Yendeto, Devachi, Sudum, Yendeto, and Devachi. Then it's Sudum de Sunduke, Dunya Dumba Jay. Then it Delia, Garana, Jay Mudu Samtide. Jesadi, Denigi, Penetsudumlia, Sudum Sunya, Sudum de Deva, Yendia Ton, Deva, Delia, Dunya, Dumbaki, Tech, Yamnajeg, Galahalaji, Mutuja, Samson, Dizundu, Diuban, Disamu Levena, and Lerudi, Cocado, Yungoma, Jesadinizel, got Java del Pesjung or Eger.
The approach the Dharma takes here to deal with laziness is it first recognizes what laziness is. So it is a consciousness, a mental factor, it's a consciousness. And it comes about or it's understood as the wish to engage in the Dharma being quite weak. And rather the wish to engage in today's chores and tomorrow's tasks being much stronger. So how does one overcome a particular consciousness? It's to develop a contrary way of thinking and to overwhelm that with the contrary way of thinking. So to take an illustration, one reflects on ethical restraint, reflecting in particular on the benefits of ethical restraint, thinking, if I develop a truly ethical outlook and thereby my physical behavior is in the constraints of what is ethical. My speech is in the constraints of what is ethical, as is my very way of thinking. Then I will be creating powerful causes for further excellent rebirths. So thinking about that a lot, so that desire to be ethical, to train one's mind in ethics, so that wish becomes much stronger than the wish to have a mind distracted by this life's affairs. This is how we overcome laziness. So what it comes down to is we developing a where you value a certain way of thinking more than another, where you want something more than something else. And by wanting this new thing in this illustration, ethical restraint, wanting that way of thinking, wanting that much more than being distracted by various activities, wanting that more, this is what we start to value This is what we will then prioritize and where we'll put our effort. So therefore, we need to develop through seeing the qualities of the various minds of the Dharma. We develop a yearning, a zeal to cultivate those within us. Then that is becomes what we value and prioritize. And other things are seen in their truer light. They are seen as insignificant and unimportant.
Nadi Benaha Zuge Jike Namshi Dangwe Nada Chawar or Chiavne Nada and the Nigi Namshi Tawar or Shmurhina Jik Sajilia and Chamim Joyagi Telia Jik Goyag Donyagi Dumba Natel Rose to be Dumba Chembo that they'll draw the Samno Shuk Chembo Yobena and Delia and Tawar Yenede and Chawar Jabnede and Delia Mazembaje Rugorwa.
So we can see how this works in everyday life, where when the weather is cold and wet, and you yearn for a holiday where it's somewhere warm, you'll do research, you'll save money, and you will go. You'll make your plans because you really want to go and thaw out somewhere warm. Well, likewise, those who enjoy sport, who enjoy playing sport, because of the great enjoyment they take in their sport, no matter the weather, they'll train or they'll compete. The weather will not keep them from going outside and training or engaging in competition. So what we see is where there is something that we deeply desire, that we want. The reason we want it is we value it. We place importance on it. And because we value it, we overcome whatever obstacles there are with relative ease to be able to fulfill these desires. So here in our context, we're trying to shift what we value to being what has actual meaning, what is of true importance for lifetimes to come. And as we change our priorities in this way, it becomes ever easier to let go of all of these chores and tasks that otherwise dominate our time and our energy so. And with far greater ease, we are able to engage in, for example, cultivating an ethical outlook.
Then the
fourth verse, therefore, reflect on the way in which death comes so quickly, and how after death, like a shadow follows the body, the two types of karma follow. Having contemplated this repeatedly, exert yourself in purifying non-virtue and accumulating virtue.
Dine samgyo mara chi, kiti chewa, kiti dukura sana, dade rana duya kotsu ure sora, chewa ure es. Karasene, nyurduus, chiwa se de kiti le yang heba siyo mara, chitna di kiye mangbu yore, chi yi kiye mangbu nangi, chi kiye mangbe, mangbu yue de ba sa,
Looking at the first line, therefore reflect on the way in which death comes so quickly. So we live with this misapprehension that we have extensive time ahead of us. And this, if we think about it intellectually, it's very easy to recognize that this is completely deluded. Because it's not only that death will come for us, but it can come at any time. And we know this from what we've observed in our families or in society, that all too often the young die before the old, the healthy before the ill. It's not at all possible to say with certainty who amongst us will be the first to die. And this is because our body, our life, is so very vulnerable. It just takes a small cause and this life can end. Accidents are the most obvious, but even just a fall, it may end our life or radically change our life. Or similarly, eating something that it turns out you have an allergy to, or the elements inside our body going out of harmony, an illness, perhaps a fatal illness befalling us. This can come about so quickly. And this is something that is imperative, an understanding that is imperative to live with, because it serves to overcome procrastination. Because you recognize, my time here, not only is it finite, but it could be very brief. Therefore, I need to take care of my mind from right now and continuously. Keep our mind on virtue, away from non-virtuous or afflicted ways of thinking. Because this could be my last month, my last weekend, and so forth. Therefore, from right now, and continuously from right now, I need to take care of my mind, living as if this is the end of my time in this body.
Chisande maduba ne shi somba ne shi ne lugi yangda shi rode parche kresne shi ne lugi jisu jima shin le nyi changwa yangda yangdo sam sidi. Chisande nga zu shi rode ane shi ne lugi jisu jima shin sidi nga zu ge lugi suku jima shi rwa. Chisande nga zu suku di kawar chowe ne kawar chan jima di diga yungore mado suku di jima di pa xia che ane suku di pa ジマでシャシャとやすかよまるわそう。じゃあだジマせで変わるもるせで、まずそこ変わるとね、ディレイもれ、そのディレイランでジマディレイもるわ。ん、パスのパディジマディレイもるわ。じゃあ、じゃあ、まずそこにジマジマせでジマでせるわ。で、ルイ変わるとね、まずルイで変わるとね、ディにもにもにもの あの、あの、シリーカブラ、ガレチスダントゴレスね。レニ、それレゲベレダ、ミギベレニチスタンゴレス。じゃあ、だ、あの、シリー、ジョデュ、ガレチョ、その、スポディパーシャシャシャゴレス。スポシャ、だ、セムネチョゴレス。セムネチョエディ、だ、ルイジョワナシン、ジマジョワナシン、ジン、あの、ゲベレディ、 给为列给接触的下月呢，给为列的修钱不用的，第一接触差钱，点着两桌呀的。那米给为列给修钱不用的，第一接触差的，那俺们是俺这儿买出来的，下回儿就是列这你一些是差的，列给为列是啥呢？点着两桌啊，那米给为列啥呢？那俺这儿买出来的，给外地你一些是长过的，就是俺今天晚上，俺这个哦，都是呢，在西呢。
Lama Tsongkhapa continues, and how after death, like a shadow follows the body, the two types of karma follow. So not only will death come for all of us, but it could come at any time. And when death comes, our body remains here, but our consciousness continues. This body that we've occupied throughout this life, we all know that wherever we go, our shadow follows us. We cannot will our shadow away. It's not something we can choose to have or not. As long as we have a body, we have a shadow. And similarly, when this body is left behind and our consciousness continues, it remains accompanied by our karma. And then, too, we cannot will away our negative karma. What's accumulated will follow us, will accompany our consciousness. And it's our collection of imprints, both what we brought into this life and what we've accumulated in this life. It's those that both determine our next rebirth, whether it's in the higher realms and in what context, or in the lower realms and what type of rebirth, as well as determining the various conditions we have in our life. This karma, both virtuous and non-virtuous, accompanies us from life to life.
김제대기바
So this, as is said in the third line, needs to be contemplated repeatedly. So what needs to be contemplated completely is various, has various components. So firstly, one needs to come to be very clear for oneself what is meant by virtue or wholesome ways of thinking and non-virtue or unwholesome ways of thinking. So non-virtue refers to afflictions, and their motivated speech and physical behavior. So as mentioned last night, afflictions such as attachment, anger, jealousy, pride, and so forth. And so these, if they ripen, if the karma they create ripens at the time of death, will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. If they ripen during one's life, they lead to suffering. So thinking about this, one comes to the determination to restrain one's mind from the afflictions, and if they arise, to not act under their influence. And then as the companion to this, one thinks about virtue. So these are the wholesome minds we spoke about yesterday, minds such as ethical restraint, which has the ripening effect of leading to an excellent rebirth, again, such as a human being, as well as generosity, which has the ripening effect of having an abundance of material conditions, and the virtuous mind of patience that leads to one having a pleasing physique, excellent sense faculties, and easily getting on well with others. And then fourthly, that of joyous perseverance, where one takes delight in engaging in virtue. One seeks out the Dharma, wanting to become an ever more virtuous person. So here one reflects then on the benefits of such minds and commits to training in them, having them become one's a natural way of being. So this then is what we need to think about repeatedly over a sustained period, recognizing what is virtuous and what is not, and their results that will follow, leading to a determination to become a person whose mind is dominated by virtue and for whom the afflictions are very weak.
Kyuche Duga de Basha Shiva. She's a Hamogovana, and they or that immediate meet that the Yahoo to the Kiruva, Mother Yahoo Hamogovana, and the notary also. She's a dinner, the cheaper chicken wrong, some dana dear, some dana Yahoo, some the Dambane, Mombana Yahoo, Yungo by the Hakuana, some the Danish Covana, Mombana, Duguyo, Gangayo by the Hakuana, some the Yahoo Yawa the Hakotovana, dinner the Yaha de Damgurua, or do sine yane other some dana. Dinner is other.
What is virtuous and what is non-virtuous and why so? Is what one needs to reflect on repeatedly over a sustained period, so that we come to value the side of virtue and we start to become repelled by the side of non-virtue. In other words, when the virtuous minds are dominant within us, this feels right, this feels who we want to be. But when the afflictions arise, we immediately feel an aversion to what is happening within, and we want to reduce those minds. And this comes about through changing our preference, changing what we prefer. This comes from reflecting on the benefits of one one group and the faults of the other. So just like in your own life, if you have two things, and one you find more attractive, more pleasing, and the other a little bit ugly or doesn't feel so nice, you'll always tend to use the one and not the other. Or if there's something that, perhaps something you eat, and you find this beneficial but that harmful, or this tastes nice, that doesn't, it's very clear you'll always go to the one side and push the other away. This is what we try to do here through contemplating the two types of karma repeatedly. And when one has done so successfully, or maybe not in that sequence, as one is doing so successfully, one will, in the fourth line, exert oneself ever more in purifying non-virtue and accumulating virtue. So as one is going through this process of repeatedly reflecting on the benefits of virtue, the faults of non-virtue, and what is meant by virtue and non-virtue, as one is accumulating this understanding and the resulting determination, becomes ever easier to strive in the accumulation of virtue and the purification of non-virtue.
And in the Diva Chang, Kewa to go to Kewa Sahores, the Diva Chang, Diva Sedi, and Sanji, or Dinit Cheven, Lega, some no deep coven, Lega Tijeva, the Mombana, and Tunga Jungo Jebu, Tunga Jigri, Sesum, but Nza, the Nigger Sanji, Sung Bigi, that's another contra, Sangan, the contra Kiata, the so, and the Diva Chagor, Diva Tonto, contra Yomopati, Diva Esor. So, だけなのじゃけら、けわにゅうまとめばいね、けわ
So in the fourth line, exert yourself in purifying non-virtue. So this has a twofold meaning. First, the non-virtue that one both recalls having accumulated in this life, as well as what one does not recall from this or lives previous. One commits to purifying that through various purification practices to eradicate that from our continuum, or at the very least to prevent it from ripening. So that's the one component of purifying non-virtue. The other is the commitment to refrain from accumulating new non-virtue. So one closes the door to further non-virtue, as well as purifying past misdeeds. And the line concludes with, and accumulating virtue. So this also has two parts. So just like if you are going to the shops, you may buy something you don't have. So something you don't have at all, you buy that as something brand new for you. Or if there's something you collect, you now buy something further to add to your collection. So this is similar then to the two parts of accumulating virtue, where those skills those virtuous qualities you already have, you add to them, you strengthen them, you make them more ingrained, more powerful within you. And those virtuous qualities which you don't yet have in a very strong way, those you accumulate anew. So then these are the two aspects of accumulation: strengthening what one already has familiarity with, and building familiarity with new virtuous qualities.
Some 동고라 다야 삼나리아 가야 마산바지 되니기 가위 삼바다 미개위 삼바다 가야 마산바니 두스데베니 아 지기 파셔통에데 두스데 니간지 니칼라라케체메 마이 마가게 메르와 아주 쭉 그 단염으로 삼나도 코토부미도 제가 디메바디 가서 삼로 나로리아 가위기 삼로 슉첨보에메 아니 그 체위기 마개위 삼로 슉첨메 삼로 코라 바마 단님으로 지어버서 수비 넘기 뒤에 파셔디 드네 통으로 제가 삼로 빼 마시기 뉴베첨보래 제가 삼로지 제가 당 안 주기 제가 드네 인자 삼로 개위 삼로 슉첨보 지어버는 마주 류가 넘기 유아 나신 깨와 치마데 야가들 파 땅투고래 개위 미개위 삼로 슉첨보 지어버는 미게 섬나디게 아주 융아 규와나시 아주 개와치마데 아니 두와질 당고레스 제자 디네자 섬노디 섬노디 빼마시 개치모 주차고 제자데 디바장 개와사세디 아주 섬노 땅제 개와사야르마도 기 섬노 땅제 개와사야디 디바장신이 장고 고레 제자 디바장야라 개와사나마도 디바장하메레라
When we talk about purifying on virtue and accumulating virtue, hopefully what is becoming very clear is that this is referring not primarily to what one does and how one speaks, but primarily to one's way of thinking, to ensuring that our mind is virtuous, that our mind becomes purified of non-virtuous ways of thinking. Our mind refrains from non-virtuous ways of thinking. This is the very meaning of purifying non-virtue and accumulating virtue. The very meaning is changing our way of thinking. And changing our way of thinking, certainly whilst we are starting to train, tends to be a little artificial. It's something that we are intentionally having to contrive, something we're intentionally having to manufacture within ourselves. But by training repeatedly over a sustained period, what was for perhaps quite a while contrived eventually becomes natural to us, becomes very much who we are. So what we are wanting to cultivate, for example, is a mind that naturally wants to be of benefit to others, a mind that naturally likes others, so that it becomes a reflection of who you are as a person. And to the extent that one develops this, in particular, when it really becomes part of who you are, you'll get on with everyone. People will enjoy your company. When they see you coming or hear your voice, they'll be pleased to see you. They'll enjoy being around you. And that is because of the quality of mind you have accumulated. Because the quality of your mind doesn't only impact you. It's the quality of your mind that determines how you speak, how you act, not merely what you do and what you say, but how you speak, how you act. And this, therefore, others pick up on, and therefore either enjoy being in your presence, or the converse is also true, want nothing to do with you. So here, I want to emphasize just how important our way of thinking is, because it's become now a quite common knowledge in society that our way of thinking impacts our physical health. So this is quite widely understood, that if our mind, our mental health is quite poor, this will have an impact on our body. That is very much the case, and it's in the, it has, therefore we see our way of thinking has an impact in this very life. But so too, through the karma we accumulate, our way of thinking impacts our body in the future life, in that it's our way of thinking, whether virtuous or non-virtuous, that leads to the accumulation of karmic imprints that propel a particular type of rebirth, as well as the various qualities that one has in that rebirth. So this shows just how important our way of thinking is. In this life, if we develop a mind that is truly loving and caring for others, a mind that is truly ethical, this will transform ourselves and our relationships with others. So I want to emphasize again that when you hear about purification and accumulation, this does not refer to verbal and physical deeds, but the motivating mind that leads to those verbal and physical deeds. Therefore, this is where we should put our attention. As Buddhist practitioners, we should be very clear that practicing the Dharma means training our mind. And it's through training our mind that we will come to transform how we experience our life. Because all too often, when people are unhappy, they naturally want to remove themselves from a situation. And certainly in circumstances, this needs to be done. But one doesn't resolve one's problems merely by removing oneself from a situation. Because if one is, for example, having a disharmonious relationship with someone, when one removes oneself from that situation, your way of thinking accompanies you. And those ways of thinking will be acted out in new relationships elsewhere. So if one's unhappy in one place, decides I've had enough, I'm moving to another country, sometimes maybe that's necessary. But be aware, one has to change one's way of thinking, because the same habit patterns that one has accompanies you wherever you go. You cannot outrun your mind and your imprints. And moreover, in order to deal with life's challenges, people will rely on various things to soothe their mind. It may be eating, it may be intoxicants, drinking something, it may be medication. These two all have an impact. They help soothe the mind. They may dull the mind, but they do not solve anything. So we need to keep training our mind, because this will, through training our mind, we will radically transform how we experience the world, how we experience everything we encounter. And this transformation is something that we all have the capacity to do. So for example, when one is physically ill, to think, oh, I change my mind and I'll heal, to be honest, that's kind of unlikely. Take medicine, follow the course of treatment that one is prescribed by a skilled physician, but don't leave it at that. Use this and everything you encounter as opportunities to train your mind, to cultivate, to transform your mind. Because if one is ill and one is taking medication, but one is also changing one's mind, the medication will serve to heal one's body, but your mental training will serve to transform how you experience your illness. So this is an illustration to take to every single aspect of our life. Use it as stimulus to change our mind, to transform your mind. And this is the very meaning of Buddhist practice.
Then, Jamze something in Dokshorewa. She's not Jamze the Summer Cassetta Vene, good country somebody in Nuba Chundu area. Diane Shelley never cheek me as and be soon with somebody Dok, D Dokshore, Shelley Tewaji with some Lua. She's not never cheek me as and never cheek me as and be Jamze do sometimes, see with somebody Ranshugi and called Nuba Chundu era. Chada Nigeria, Tawayana, Donald Dajan, Donald Shuchet, the Tawad Chunjo Ruwa. She's not Donald Swisha and the other.
These two terms, non-virtue and virtue, or purifying non-virtue and accumulating virtue, these are often presented separately, and they often are trained in separately. But in reality, they are interrelated, or that they have they're interrelated. In that, for example, how does one go about purifying non-virtue? It is to accumulate virtue. So if one is wanting to purify the non-virtue of the mind of anger, so that what one's trying to purify is a consciousness. And this, in this illustration, is one of anger. And one then does so by strengthening one's habituation to a contrary and opposite virtuous way of thinking, such as affectionate love. Because when one's mind is angry, love is not at all dominant. When one is feeling affectionate love for others, one cannot become angry. So these two have, because they are contrary, if one, you become much more habituated to one, the other is overwhelmed. So a person who's naturally angry is easily angered. For them, training repeatedly in affectionate love, because it's a opposite mind, this will have an impact on how easy it is for the anger to arise, or if it does, it won't last nearly as long. Because what this process of purification and accumulation means that one, as one strengthens one's way of thinking to a particular virtuous way of thinking, it proportionately weakens the opposite non-virtuous way of thinking. So when one comes to engaging in specific purification practice, this has various components. One of the components is to recall, if it's anger, specific instances of anger. And then one generates regret for that. And this is important, because then by generating regret, one is closing the door to the likelihood of anger arising as easily, because one is making it ever clearer to oneself. I was suffering when I was angry. I created the causes to suffer in the future. And in this way, one regrets how one thought, and therefore what one said and what one did. And that, in terms of regret, is sufficient. Do not allow the self-indulgence of dwelling with guilt and allowing oneself to be ravaged by guilt. This serves no purpose at all. Generate regret and then cultivate a contrary virtuous way of thinking. And that is how one purifies past misdeeds and builds habituation to wholesome ways of thinking. So again, with the illustration of love, we all have love within us. We just need to moisten it like a dry soil. If you add some water, the sprout will grow. So by nurturing the seeds of love that abide within us, this will grow ever more, ever stronger, and thereby anger will start to become more of a stranger to us. And so too, if one recognizes one's habituated to perhaps unkind speech or unskillful behavior, there one needs to train in ethics, developing this strong liking for ethics, seeing its values, and also seeing the faults of speaking or acting in a particular way and the motivating mind behind that. And by training again repeatedly over a sustained period, one's habituation will change. So in the same way that on warm days, we rely on something that's the opposite to deal with the heat, such as air conditioning, so too with dealing with our mind. By cultivating the contrary, wholesome, virtuous minds, we proportionately weaken the non-virtuous ways of thinking we are thus far habituated to.
Oh, yeah, that is,
then thank you. We'll conclude therefore for this morning. Thank you.